What? Gentlemen, from LA to New York, New York, Chicago, to Mississippi, let's give it up for America's number one funny man, Rodney Perry.
What up, party people? It's your boy, Rodney Perry. You're tuned into Rodney Perry Live. Chris Funny Man Robinson up in here today. What's up, Funny Man? Can't get this TV. I see you. Alfreda Jackson, thank you for popping in today. Man, the podcast is in full effect. It's Rodney Perry Live, but it's not just me. I'm rocking out with my friends. Funny Man, we got to get you and X on here too, man. My co-host for today, Gary Edwards. What's up, buddy? My calls for the day, I had to go all the way to Dallas and grab this guy, man. He's the purveyor of the funky fresh haberdashery. You understand me? He stay fly. He stay funky and fresh. And he's just an all-around nice guy. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. Charles Hopgood. What's up, Hopgood?
Hey, Rodney, what's going on?
Hey, man, thank you for coming on today, man. I appreciate you. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
We're going to talk about a few things today, but, I know you are expert in this field, and I wanted to talk about money, man. How about this? In a relationship, is money enough? Don't answer. Don't say nothing. I see you working on your mind. Ladies and gentlemen, she hot. They don't know if she having a flash. I don't know what's going on over there. But she like, Rodney Perry, it's warm over here in the fresh crib. Ladies and gentlemen, the fresh tarot. She's a tarot reader, but she's a comedian. She's also just a great human being. Welcome to the show, Coco Fresh. Coco Fresh, how are you?
Peace. I am great. I'm hot.
I see you little misty over there.
I don't know what's going on.
You sure you ain't got no midget over there spraying some glistening on you?
Coco Fresh is always like just a just awesome human being. How are you?
I am well. I am much better. I'm well.
So if you follow Coco Fresh, and if you're not already, do yourself a favor, follow Coco Fresh. Funny Man, Chris Funny Man Robinson is on the line today, Coco.
Oh, peace, Chris.
Yeah, man. I used to go to Scandalos and do comedy down there years ago. Man. They're bringing that whole vibe back, so that's good stuff.
That's my dude. That's one of the guys when coming up watching when I was just watching comedy.
Yeah,
he was one of the writers
OG.
In person. Yep.
OG. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, like I was saying, Coco Fresh went to the emergency last week.
Yeah.
Only a few days ago, but by the time I checked on you, it was getting out.
I sure was. I'm about to stay in there too long. They tried to keep me in there like all weekend. I was like, I got stuff to do.
Wait a minute.
Oh, no, I know you were sick.
I got to go. I was dehydrated. Mm-hmm. They say that I
had that happen.
Yeah, and I wasn't eating enough protein. So what happens is this happens to a lot of people when they are on their spiritual journey. Your desire for solid foods kind of goes away.
Oh,
so
wow.
I was just getting to a point to where I just, not eating a lot of solids. And it just, my body was just like, okay, bitch. Like,
I need some solid.
Man, it'll sneak up on you, too. You'll just be sitting there, and all of a sudden, you'll just, I've had that happen to me before.
Yeah. And so what I thought was going to stay for just, I thought I was just going to be, okay, they're going to put some IV in me. No, they kept me for like three days.
Wow.
So I got to do a whole lifestyle change and, with me being diabetic, that...
Got it. You can't just willy-nilly stop eating.
Yeah. Yeah. I was doing some foolish things, but I'm back.
Good stuff, man. Hey, welcome to the show. My name is Rodney Perry. Tune in to Rodney Perry Live. I don't know if y'all realize this, but I've been kind of changing the tone of the show. I wanted to really feel like a podcast. I want us to really, you know, talk about some real topics, some real subjects. And of course, we'll address stuff that's in the world, stuff that's happening, BET Awards. But you know, I want to talk about some real stuff with my friends. So here we go.
Y'all, excuse my dogs. They're going to shut up in a little bit.
I can't hear them at all.
Okay, good.
No, I can hear them at all. No, all right. Man, it's a lot happening. All right. Is money enough? You know, you hear, you know, a lot about women being gold diggers. You hear about men being opportunists and taking advantage of women and stuff like that. But you do all this to get with a person for money. Is money enough? Coco Fresh, what's your thoughts?
Is money enough? Money is important.
Yeah.
And it's a factor. It's a big factor, especially with what I've been experiencing. Yes. So money is, I don't know what you mean by enough, but what do you mean enough by, like, if somebody just got enough money?
Can money sustain you? Like, I'll give you a great example. So, Russell Simmons is in the news. His daughters is mad at him. Baby mama mad at him. And Kamora Lee Simmons put out a thing on YouTube, on Facebook, saying that, yo, he ain't got what he used to have. You know what I'm saying? So, is money enough when you was on and everything was cracking and then that thing changes?
Well, no. Well, money, I don't think that money is enough, no. But you got to look at, like, the Kamora and Russell and, like, okay, let's be straight up. Like, look at what Russell looks like, okay? That's not the – he's not the best-looking man. He has to – come on now. I'm not in the club. I'm like, I'm trying to – right there. No, he had to buy me, like, a number of drinks.
And put a number of drinks.
For me to be like, okay – so for some people, yeah, they have to have the money. But no, so Kamora is like, she not loyal to him. He
basically, you know what? You make a great point, Coco. I have seen some well-off guys over the years, and money makes everything a little easier. Like, his baby mama, his ex-wife, his current wife, they would operate in perfect harmony.
My ex-boyfriend, I was with, and I don't care, I don't mind. I was with that man just because he had money. And wow. It was one of the worst relationships.
What was the straw that broke the camel back? When did you get to the point where you're like, you know what, it's not enough? Your little money is not gonna keep me here.
Oh my gosh. Well, first off, okay, so he bought a house and he put me on the deed. So he bought me a house.
That's your house. So yeah.
I had two cars. He bought me two cars. And then he was like, you don't have to work anymore. I was just like, okay. So we moved way out into the country, took me way out in the middle of bumfuck. And then when he saw that all my power was gone and I had no more resources of income, then he started implementing who he really was. And I'm not putting it all on him like he was the monster. Like I consciously knew what I was doing.
Okay.
But it was just a big disaster, because then it was just like, okay, I want you to cook like my grandma used to cook. I want you to clean up the house. I want you, and I'm like, I don't do stuff like
stop
that. He started being mean, and it was just, and then he wasn't even attractive anymore. I was just like, when am I getting out of this again? Only thing at that point, I was just like, only thing I got is if you die, I'm straight. And wow, I just don't want to be with nobody like that. So,
yeah. Wow. Hey, I saw my mother leave, my stepfather, who was a great provider, but he was abusive. So money wasn't enough, but she would have stayed. She would have stayed with him even longer, because, like, say, for instance, like, she caught me ready to hurt him because he was so abusive. And she would have stayed longer had not I reached that point, because the provisions were special. You know, he was doing great. He was doing a great job. Charles Hopgood, you're a financial guy. You help people, you do credit restoration, you help people get on track. Talk to me about money, man. Is money enough, man? I mean, money ultimately broke up your last relationship. Or not necessarily money, but how a person handles money matters.
It's already a touchy subject. It has to be incorporated when you're trying to build a relationship.
It's got to happen in the get to know you phase. Like,
right.
But don't we ignore that, Hopgood? Like, don't you? Absolutely. You got a beautiful girl. She's fine. She got everything together. And you just ignore that this bitch may be really spendy, or maybe have 50,000 Louis bags, and maybe have, you know, no assets. Don't we ignore that?
We will give our bodies before we talk about building life. We'll risk our life when we talk about building it.
Wow.
I mean, we won't do it because it's an uncomfortable subject. It's brought trauma in our lives, even beyond a relationship. You know, when somebody calls you, "Hey, Rodney, man, I need to borrow some money," you automatically go to a place like, ugh.
Yeah. Hey, like say, for instance, like my wife and I, we've been married 27 years this year. And we are fundamentally different in terms of money. Like my wife is a saver. She believes in saving. I don't. Like, to me, saving for a rainy day is willing a rainy day towards you. Right. Ooh. And so I'm on a plane, Coco Fresh, and this guy tells me about a book. The name of the book is The Richest Man in Babylon. And so in this story, there's this rich guy, and he's like, "Why are my subjects poor except you?" So the guy says, "Look, I pay my God, I pay myself, and I pay my bills. And that's what I live." But for me, the fundamental part was paying yourself. See, that is fundamentally saving. But it's active saving, because at the end of the year, you take that money and invest it in something, right? You know, and he talked about your money being like children. He said your children need to have children. And so I come home, I'm excited. Coco Fresh, Roddy Perry, like, "Hey, baby, I figured it out. We going to go. I'm going to take this money. I'm going to save it for a year." Then my wife's like, "Nigga, that's saving."
But it's the way that it was presented to you brought excitement to you.
Right.
I thought I thought she was going to give me a high five. She said, "You stupid." You talking, this is the same thing. How good, talk to me about money, man. How important is money, like, for you as a guy that's single out there in these streets, man, meeting people? Like, how important is that? Like, that your next person is well off.
Well, it's definitely the first one of the first conversations that we talk about when we're talking about building life. We talk about positions and how long we've been in the place we are. How's our credit? Credit is one of the first things I bring up. If you have challenged credit, I can't date you. Now, I'm not saying that I won't date you. I'm saying I can't. Now, if you allow me to help you and get you to a place, then I can date you, because I want your mind clear and not have the trauma of having bad credit so we can build.
Right. I mean, and that's kind of what you do for a living, but aren't you like low-key coming in at a disadvantage if you're fixing a person? You know, like, we've all tried to fix people and it never works. Coco Fresh, am I tripping?
It depends on if you're fixing to a point to where you're hurting yourself, that's when it doesn't work.
Right. See, restoring somebody's credit, that's just my time. I'm investing time in a relationship that's going to invest in me.
And you would do that to a stranger, too.
Yeah. I mean, I'll help anyone because I want the best version of that person. And credit has plagued us all.
Yeah. Hop saved my relationship.
Really?
And I didn't even know that we had issues until we decided. You know, of course, we met Hop through you, Rodney, and we decided to, okay, we trying to get some stuff. And then when Hop stepped in and did what he did with us and worked with us, it's like now it's like my man has done a 180. Like, wow. He's always been a very proud and a very, you know, but it's something about the freedom of having your credit having great credit, it does something mentally. I mean, and this, I don't mean to, but the sex is even better. I'm telling you, ladies, you want to get things right with your man or your relationship, fix y'all credit.
Yeah, and a man needs to provide. And when he can't provide, everything suffers. You know, how about this, man? My daughter was dating a guy, great guy. He was a great guy. I met him. He's a good guy. But he was always at a disadvantage because she made more than him. Can a relationship exist when a woman makes more than a man? How good?
Here's the thing. You can make more money, but add other tangibles to the relationship as long as their mind is clear and they're open to building.
Well, what do you mean? I don't understand.
Okay, so I've seen relationships where women make more money than men. I've dated celebrity women. They made more money than me, but I'm a man. I'm comfortable within the confines of myself. I bring other tangibles into the relationship, like financial literacy and all of that. If they're built up in other areas, that's a conglomerate. That's a building of a relationship. If you're lacking in other places and you lack self-confidence and you're not living up to the full version of what you're supposed to be, it'll never work regardless. It won't. No, even a bad relationship won't work if you're not all the way right.
That's beautiful, Hopgood. That was, you know how I feel about your beautiful statements. That was beautiful. But how about this? And this is the male chauvinist pig in me, Coco Fresh, please. Don't judge me on this. I'm about to say something horrible. Women are not built to be head of household.
I agree.
Women, a woman that's making more money than you has to call you out. Like, as a woman, if she come home and your ass ain't vacuum the floor, you ain't done nothing all day, guess what? She has to call you out. You would never do that. A man would never come home and go, babe, what the fuck you been doing all day? You been sitting there watching them stories again, I bet. A man would never call his woman out on that type of life. Because as a man, you're built to take care of your significant other. But when your woman is taking care of you, Coco Fresh, if you had to take care of any man, you go call him out eventually.
Oh yeah, everything get on your nerves.
But you go breathing again.
She touched on it a little while ago. When you both are on the same page as far as commerce works, you can. Okay, so for instance, a lot of guys are at a disadvantage of making money because they haven't been exposed to opportunities.
Okay,
like, you hear it all the time. Well, the man's keeping me down, or my credit. Because I know a lot of people that are held back because of their credit.
Right.
So if you...
Speaking of credit, mine's incredible.
If you relieve that stone, that big rock on their shoulder, now their mind is free to expand on other things that they might have been lacking.
But my wife helped. My wife fixed my credit. My wife sent all the letters. She did all that stuff. And but like, my wife's credit score is better than mine. She got my credit score better than yours. She all the time talking about... I'm like, baby, I pay your bills. I got credit twice, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
But money is a thing that drag people apart too. Am I right, Coco Fresh?
Absolutely, it's a thing. You know, I know from the clients that I talk to, a lot of the I have a lot of female clients, and mm-hmm. they are all women. I'd say probably about 70% of the women that I talk to are successful women financially, mm-hmm. all of that. And they have issues with their man. And the thing about it is they have stepped into a masculine role that they don't understand that, well, the feminine energy is needed. And then they're having all of these issues where they break up because basically she's trying to act like a man. And it's all based upon the money. It's all based upon the money, her having to take over all of the responsibilities.
Yeah.
Him having the lack mindset, or him feeling like that he's he can't have much because his credit bad, or he doesn't have the opportunities. Like, it does break up relationships. Money.
Yeah. Yeah, my daughter and her boyfriend, great guy, like I said, but it was crazy. She never put no pressure on the guy. And she was a homeowner and he was living there. She would ask him to do little stuff like, you know, just, you know, help with the stuff around the to-do list, you know, the stuff that we all do around the house. And he couldn't do it. And he ultimately, and I told this nigga, I said, nigga, I like you, nigga. You're a good nigga. But if you leave this house trying to find yourself, you ain't never coming back. And sure enough, it was a wrap. But let me ask y'all this. We talk about gold diggers all the time. But what about these dudes that's out there taking advantage of women? It's dudes out there that, I know who got an answer for me. Welcome to the show. Randy Sky's in the building. What's up, Randy Sky?
Hey, good morning, Randy.
What do you call a man, Randy Sky, that's living off a woman?
Who?
What do you call him?
Oh, them? They gold diggers. I think they gold diggers. Oh, no. Also, you call them fuck niggas. That's what we call them.
That's what a fuck boy is. That's what that means?
Boy, yeah.
Look, man.
A leech. Yeah.
Are we more likely to have young men like that nowadays? Young or old? Really? I mean, I've always known dudes that, you know, that lived off women, and women that was a party to it. Women was like, whatever you need, or women that would buy.
Yo, you know his, what?
Him in a relationship. Go ahead, Randy.
It's crazy because we was just talking about this last night. I don't know if y'all ever watched 90 Day Fiance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so basically a lot of these women are like, we was just like, is the dating pool so bad in America that you got to be talking to some foreigner and paying all their bills? Because that's what these women are on there doing. They're paying these men bills in a whole nother country because they can't find a man in America.
But their bills is $8 a month, though.
But look at them women, though. Look at them women.
So what you saying, Coco Fresh, they ugly?
Yeah, I don't want to call anybody ugly, but come on now, you know people in America don't want that.
No, but is that true? Like, I mean, there are some beautiful women out there taking care of somewhere right now. There's a beautiful girl taking care of some dude.
Yes, yes, I see it all the time.
I used to be her, and she just don't know her worth.
Really, yeah, Coco Fresh, you was not this girl. Ain't no way.
Yes, I was. And I did not know my worth. Yes,
get out of here. What was the turning point for you?
When you hit rock bottom, you ain't got nothing. When you don't have nothing. That's what it took for me. That last gold digger relationship. Mm-hmm. And I had to pick myself. Because what happened was, he was like, oh, okay, well, you don't want to do what I want to say. What I say, okay, out. So when I left, I didn't have anything. I didn't have no money saved, nothing. So I had to go back home to my parents and start back up. And I was like, I will never get in this position again. And then once you're building yourself back up, you start realizing like, okay, I'm dope. Like, I figured this out. I did this. I started my own business.
But you wasn't taking care of no dude.
I was before him. Like, I was having dysfunctional relationships before that.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Yeah. And people think like, well, especially when you a parent, you need to sit down and talk to your children about, it's not just from what they see. I think a lot of men need to sit down with their daughters and have realistic talks about, this is how you need to conduct yourself in a relationship.
I tell my daughters all the time, if a guy wants to be in your company, that costs.
That's right.
It costs to be around you. It costs to have a beautiful woman on your arm. It costs. Randy Scott, let me ask you this. You're a single woman out here in these streets.
In the streets. Why you always gotta say that?
That's just one of my phrases.
In the streets? I'm not in the streets.
It's just a phrase I say.
I am
in the streets. Personal. Don't take that personal.
What's up? I'm in the streets.
Goodness gracious. No, she be in the damn streets.
Well, I gotta do it. What is it? The streets.
Randy Scott. You're a single woman. Are you destined to go 50-50 with a dude? Is that something you consider? Like, is that okay? you know, Hopgood, Coco Fresh, Randy Sky, is 50-50 good. To me, my woman money ain't no good, but I'm an old nigga.
50-50 is good if everything is 50-50. Here's the thing. A lot of these men, I know I dealt with this in my last relationship. He wanted me to go 50-50 on everything. However, in the house, he does nothing. So I still got to work and clean up the house, wash everybody's clothes, cook for everybody. And you want me to pay half for everything, too? You got to be out of your goddamn mind. I'll sell pussy before I do that shit again. I'm not doing it.
Wow, that's interesting. Coco Fresh, 50-50. I mean, is that, I just watched a video of Dwayne Wade and his wife, Gabrielle Union, and they were talking about going 50-50 as a result of D-Wade going, this is my house. Wow. And she was like, oh, it's your house. All right, well, next house, we split 50-50. And they all, they, you know, they both make money. They both, you know, collectively, you know, are good. But, I mean, do you want to be in a 50-50 relationship?
No, I'm not going to volunteer 50-50. Now, if he need it, like, if it's necessary, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure it's there.
But make sure we good.
Announcing, like, yeah, I'll go and have what you do. Like, no, I'm not announcing that.
Pay the rent, guys. Pay the mortgage. Pay the rent. Pay all of that.
But now, Randy Scott, you brought up a great point.
I got you.
Randy, you brought up a great point. Go 50-50 on everything. You know, like, my wife expect me to be around here washing dishes. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. And I pay the cost to be the boss. How good am I losing my mind, man? 50-50. Are you going 50-50 with your next lady?
I've never had 50-50 in a relationship ever. I've never. Matter of fact, if we really want to keep it a whole 100, I ain't never had a woman that's all been whole. I've always had to put them on my shoulders.
Oh, wow.
Years old. I had to come to that
realization. Is that their fault or your fault? I mean, Coco Fresh say, look, you got to fix yourself before you can get a great person.
I'm not a victim. Nobody's a victim out here. We actively go into whatever it is that happens to us. So especially we got a hand in it some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. That's why I started reshuffling the situation. Like, kind of like what Randy Scott said, okay, if we're there, of course, I'm going to pay the mortgage because the mortgage is high. Everybody knows that's the biggest bill in the house. So if I get the mortgage, utilities, if you can get those, that's cool. I'll get everything else.
Wow. Victor Marshall said his pastor said relationships should be 100-100. Invest 100% of yourself and 100% of herself. I guess, man.
Man, shut the hell up, Victor. Nobody want to hear that. We talk about 50-50. That's the, he's talking about 100. No, what does that even mean? We talking about finances. You talking about mental health? No.
No. Can't get the TV said, Coco, you should have your friends jump him.
I should have. I'm still, listen, when we left, we talking about the ex, right? Because he still got all my furniture and stuff at the house.
He using it?
Yes. I mean,
so he's sitting on your couch talking crazy to you.
We broke about 2017, but I furnished that whole house.
Girl, my ex is laying on my couch right now, bro. My ex still has all my stuff in this house. My couch, like, even my air fryer, bro.
Why? The nigga got DVDs of my family, like my mama and daddy and stuff. What you hold on to that stuff for?
That stuff gone, though. Ain't it gone? Randy's got an air fryer gone.
Air fryer gone. Calvin is gone. I named him Calvin. Me and Calvin. I used to travel with Calvin. I was one of the first persons with the air fryer. You know what I'm saying?
So it was huge.
Oh,
yes, it was air fryer. Yeah. I could have put a whole rotisserie chicken in there. And he got it now. And my couch.
What you got it for?
My DVD, just like you said.
No, but what y'all gonna do with it? Like, you gotta let that, you know, let go of the air fryer, Randy Scott.
No.
What I'm you with got a picture? Why you got my family pictures? What you gonna do with that?
He's sitting there looking at him, cursing you out every day. He's looking at him, cursing you out every day.
Randy, I feel you on the air fryer though, because this last one, she called me talking about, well, I want the air fryer I picked out. I'm like, but I paid for it. I'm not.
I ain't paying for my air fryer.
Good. Don't be petty, man. Get that lady the air fryer. You don't even air fry.
No, uh-uh. No,
I really know that.
You heard me, Rodney.
Rodney, what'd you say? What'd you say?
I still owe a couple more payments on it.
Wait a minute, you bought the air fryer on credit?
You get a finger hut? You bought a finger hut air fryer?
This was years ago, bro.
That was a $10,000 air fryer.
Hey, let it go. I'll get it off your credit. Just let it go.
I moving on a little bit. We do a little pivot. Next topic, guys. Jerry Springer. Okay. Jerry Springer had some black kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he, you know, Jerry Springer dipped his little pink little thing into some black girls.
Jerry.
And do all dudes have black kids or no? Never
mind. I don't know if that's true. He did have some black kids, and turns out he left the lion's share of his fortune to them. Not the kids he raised all these years. He said he felt like those kids were spoiled and their mother was spoiled. He gave them one of his homes and the rest of his fortune, the money and the property he left to the kids, and saying something to the effect of, look, you know, I haven't been great for you, and I want to get this to you now. How horrible is that? Or is that beautiful?
I mean, he ain't did shit for them their whole life, probably. If he has been supporting them, then that's a little racist. You leave all the black kids. What you think we doing bad?
They was probably. I think.
He ain't been taking care of them kids, clearly. We ain't never heard about him until he died.
Canada's TV said it just right. His white kids are pissed.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They are pissed. Coco Fresh, I mean, not necessarily Jerry Springer, but outside kids. You know, outside kids. You got a man in your life. You know, Randy's guy obviously don't.
Damn.
So I got to ask you this. You got a man in your life. Would you tolerate an outside kid? Could you love an outside kid?
If he had a baby on me?
Yes.
No.
Really?
No.
You couldn't love that baby?
I mean,
he made a mistake.
Obviously he didn't. It came.
No. That baby, it's an outside kid. The baby stayed outside.
Wow, how about that? Hollywood Hopgood, man. I mean, it ain't really the same for guys, man, but could you tolerate an outside child, man?
I know. That's disrespectful to me.
But you deal with infidelity, you take her back.
No.
It's different for a guy, though.
Yeah, we not. No, I don't care.
Why is it different for a guy?
Because he had to sit through 9 months of pregnancy, too.
Men are strong.
We're hypocrites.
Men are strong. They can cheat on you 20 times. You could go on just a simple date with a guy and you're a slut.
Oh, yeah.
And they can't get over it. They're not strong.
We talking about a baby, though, Randy Sky. We talking about you have an outside child that's not his.
Yeah, that's
pretty gross. But, Rodney, you talking like the baby. You talking like the baby coming to the door saying, can I come stay with y'all? That ain't the baby. That's the mama. Like, he got to deal with the mama and that child. It ain't like just...
It's not... Victor said it perfectly. It's not the baby's fault.
Well,
not,
okay, but that ain't my
fault.
And it ain't my fault either to be taking care of that goddamn baby.
Right,
but
I ain't. Why gotta be a goddamn baby?
Well, I can be real with you, Rodney. I actually did it. I actually, you know, my last relationship, he cheated on me. I had kids. And we broke up when it happened, but then got back together later on. And I still treated those kids like, you know, like they was my. I still love those kids to this day, even though we not together. One of them just graduated. I went to his graduation.
Get out of here. See, Randy's cat, I knew you was wonderful.
Them babies don't all the way like you.
They honestly do. Like, because I think it's because also their mom wasn't really, like, she around now, right. But it was a good point when.
Okay, so the mom was,
you know,
lacking.
So, like, okay. I was literally raising like
my wife has always been a little distant. Not, I don't have no outside kids, but I had two kids already, and she is a little distant with them. But yeah. In her defense, she always goes, they got a mama.
That's right.
I'm, Yes, they got a mama, but
the difference when the mama's not around. It's the difference.
Right.
Yeah.
You are that person. And plus,
let me be clear, Randy. So you meet a guy, he has children, right? You don't immediately pull them in and make yourself their mother if y'all gonna be in the thing, you and the guy.
What you mean? You talking about you giving me another scenario?
This is a different scenario. This is you meet a guy. He's a great guy, and he has children. How do you treat those children?
Like they mine.
Really?
Yeah. Like I love kids. Like everybody know, I'm that house where kids always used to come and hang out at, and. Plus I be cooking all the time, so they love to be around here. And I just treat them like they mine because I have a child. And I know at this age that I'm in, you know, being 41 and newly single again, I know most of the people that I date are going to be grown and probably have kids. So it's like, I'm not going to ostracize them for that. I have a child. I would want somebody that I'm dating to treat my kid the same way.
I think like that too. I've been like, say for instance, even, the young men my daughters date, like I used to be really hard on these young men, right? I was like, you know, but they still children, they still boys, you know. And if my daughter was in another city, I would want somebody to look out for her. And so I really shifted my approach. Coco Fresh, you disagree?
I'm just saying, like, y'all just talking about like the light stuff. Y'all not talking about like deep when the kids be going home to their mama, and the mama don't like you, or the mama don't like the daddy, and then the kids take their whatever frustration the mama has.
Right.
The kid is a representation of it, and the kids treating you funny. Like,
that is the truth. I mean, I like I said, I didn't have to deal with that because the mom wasn't
active.
At the time, we were together like that.
Hopgood, you meet a young lady. She's gorgeous. She got a couple of kids. You know, they're teens. Do you discipline?
No.
Discipline?
But they're in your house, though, Hopgood.
No, listen. You didn't say they were in my house.
They're in your house.
We ain't living together yet. Now, okay. We're living together and I'm raising these children. I'm going to be a disciplinarian to an extent. Absolutely.
That's one of the hardest things to deal with when you're in a situation like I can keep that on it. Because honestly, you know, I dealt with mostly boys, but it was one teenage girl in there, Coco, and that was the one. That was the one who I would have to, you know, like when we first started living all together, because the father, like I said, he had full custody of his kids. So once we all started living together, the teenage daughter was the one that used to try me because she used to run to men. But I had to let her know real quick, I'm not the one. But the disciplinary, like that is where you kind of got to figure it out. Because like you said, they could go back to their mama like, oh, this girl hit me. This not my mama. This not my, you know what I'm saying?
But so you're in a trick bag.
But a lot of times when they got like completely out of hand, like I said, these kids weren't that bad. So a lot of times when they got out of hand, you know, I would address it because I ain't no fucking punk. So I'm going to go in on your ass just like I would go on anybody else. But when they came to like physically getting physical with them, that was all on their dad. I would tell him what went on, who disrespected it. But I was real good with other things. Like, you know, I remember the teenage daughter got pissed at me once. I had some clothes in her closet because she had the bigger closet. And she got really mad at me because she got caught doing some shit she wasn't supposed to be doing. And I checked her on it. And I didn't even tell her dad right away. I just pulled her to the side. But she had company, so she wanted to get saucy. She took all my stuff out the closet and had it on the floor, all my winter stuff on the floor. So, you know, I happen to walk by the room, I see it on the floor. She back there crying, being a victim like most teenage daughters. And so I just simply went down there and was just like, you know, I'm a female, I'm not a man. So that crying shit's not going to work with me. And if you want to get my stuff out your room, run me all that shit, because that's my TV, this my bed that I brought in here for you, this my mattress, run me all this shit. So either you going to pick it up now, or you going to wait till your daddy come, because I'll be sucking your daddy dick. And you going to do what he tell you to do. He going to do what I tell him to tell you to do. So how you want to do it?
You told her you suck.
How old was she, Randy?
Like
12, 13. You told her you suck her daddy's dick.
I said I got him wrapped around my finger.
Oh, okay.
That's like the same thing. T. Gray says, your mom while they're under your roof, whether it's a weekend or a lifetime.
Yeah, any kid that's in my house is I'm their mama. I ain't got no problem with that. I'm just not gonna be just volunteering.
But that whole dynamic is a little more delicate on the male side because I mean, you know, you can have a mama that say, "Don't touch these kids," period. And I'm not gonna be the disciplinarian until I have to. But like you said, like, oh, here's another thing. I would always like, so my son is 30 years old. He bought me these shoes for Father's Day. Thank you, son. And so my son has siblings from his mom. So when I would go pick up my son, I would pick up these kids too sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, depending on what I had to do that weekend, I would pick up my son, I would pick up the kids, and I continued to pick up them kids until they was horrible to my daughter, to my biological daughter, his sister. And they was mean to her, and I ain't picked their ass up no more. And why am I low-key still mad at kids? I mean, I don't even know what I'm. It's no question, I guess. Would you pick up the other children?
No.
Hopgood. Your kid is there. You got one kid in the house, but it's three other kids. Can they all go get ice cream?
Boy, that's heavy.
You Hopgood. You rich, man.
You know what? If money's not a factor, absolutely. If money's not a factor, everybody gets ice cream.
They get grocery store ice cream, but mine's get the Dairy Queen ice cream.
Oh. But time out. Queen. My thing is, don't feel entitled to it.
You eat out the tub that you buy at the grocery store.
The big tub.
But my baby boy.
Hopefully, give an evil stepmother vibe.
Straight up.
You seen the movies with the stepmother? She gonna have your kid. If you marry Coco and got outside kids, they gonna be in the attic. Children of the, in the flowers in the
children
attic.
Of the attic.
But the attic. Here's
a great question, Rodney. Do you believe in whooping your kids? Yes and no.
Some ass before.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna tell y'all like this. We got corporal punishment, and it worked on us. But I really push back on the idea that the only way you can get a child to do what you want him to do is to punish him physically. We don't do that to nobody else in our society. The smallest people in our society get a fucking belt, a extension cord. That to me, that's remnants of slavery, and I don't want to be a part of it. Coco Fresh, in my bad.
I mean, whooping works. So
she's not gonna be her kid. She's gonna be y'all kid.
Coco in that neighborhood. Coco Fraser that neighborhood. Hey, I beat your kids today. Here they go.
Yeah.
They I mean, you got this.
All right, I'm gonna call you. Look, such and such done this. Now I'm about to whoop them. But I'm just telling you now. And then it's
Hopgood. Hopgood, man. You got a boy.
Come get your damn kid.
Hopgood, you got a son, man. He wilding out, he tripping, man. Are you a corporal punishment guy?
Man, that's Gene put hands on me, moment of silence. So I've had hands put on me. My mom was 6'3", would punch me dead in my chest.
Wow. So that means you would carry that forward, even though, I mean, well, but it made you a great man, too.
I'm going to try to be diplomatic and talk to the boy. Like, hey, man, you know, if I give you too many hey, mans, next thing is going to be these hey mans.
Wow. Hey, Randy Scott, you raising a young man over there. Is it necessary? I mean, is whooping what we got necessary today?
Honestly, when he was younger, we did, if he got out of line, because it was a rough patch in school where, like, this motherfucker was bringing a sad face home every day.
You know, like, damn, that a sad face.
They like, he's at it again. Like, you know what I mean? You remember when they was little, they give you a good happy
face? Yeah.
He was bringing sad faces and red faces home every day. So, you know, around that time when they was little, you know, of course he'd get him a little poppy. But after a while, you know, it doesn't work. So we had to find other ways. Like, we used to do stuff like working out, push-ups. Mm-hmm. You know, but now this motherfucker bigger than all of us. So, okay. And he's only 14, but size 12 makes you tall, you know. So like now you got to do other things, like, you know.
They used to make us hold books.
Take away the PlayStation.
Take away. But you know, though, but now I'm seeing parents becoming like best friends with their kids to the point to where they lose respect for their parents. Like whooping, it's like, so you hit me, so
now every now and then
I try to get you back. Look at you as an equal.
It's an attitude adjustment. You might not hit your kid every time that they do something, but it'd be one time when they really get out of line. Last time this fool got out of line with me, he got tossed across the room. Okay.
Right.
And it was just an attitude adjustment. He hasn't came at me like that anymore. Every now and then you got to just snap on them because they'll take you there. They'll take you there because you've been so nice and you got to just snap on them. What you say to me? Bah.
Oh. I'm going to just tase mine if I ever have any. I'm
tase?
Gonna, sit down.
Okay. You said, do you have kids?
Cause I'm not yet.
You ain't gonna tase no child.
I'ma get a little thing, that little zapper, a little zap.
Wow. It's giving abuse.
It's not giving abuse at all. Hey, y'all, it's Rodney Perry. You're tuning in to Rodney Perry Live. It's the podcast. Randy Sky's in the building. Coco Fresh is in the building. And the great Charles Hopgood. We talked about Jerry Springer, what he did, but Russell Simmons is going through it. The baby mama, Kimora Lee Simmons, the kids not fucking with him. And how about this? And you can raise your kids in your house and give them every creature comfort, and they still can look at your ass and be like, nigga, you fucked up. So this happens, you know, whether you're a Simmons or a Perry. You know, it just can happen. How do we, as parents, mend these relationships, or do we mend it at all? Randy Sky.
I feel like in this situation, as you just brought up, this Russell Simmons situation, honestly, I feel like the whole thing with his kids and all of that, like, is because he's acting out because of what the mother has done in the past. Have you heard about all the allegations that what she's been doing with all the money and shares that they have had together with all of her and her boyfriends and keeping the last one out of jail for fraud?
Yeah, I heard about that. Shares?
So I feel like Russell might be on some shit like, you know what? I ain't got nothing else for y'all. You know, and I mean, it sucks because you shouldn't take it out on your kids, but every day there's a baby daddy mad at his baby mama and lashing out on them kids.
Hey, you know what tripped me out, Coco Fresh, is a lot of these guys around here talking about child support. And this is what I know. Whatever child support is, and I'm not for people getting no $100 million in child support. But whatever child support is, it probably costs more than that to raise their kid. What's your thoughts on the whole child support, you know, courts? Like, I've never been on court mandated child support, so I just always have to take care of my kids, but it could have been a lot worse. What's your thoughts?
I think that the child support system, I've seen it being taken advantage of a lot by women. I've hung out with some women that's just like, hold on, we go on a trip. Hold on, my check gonna hit, and then we could go on this trip.
My check?
I've seen that before as well. But I've also seen it on the other end where the women, child support ain't shit. That little $50 a week, $50 a month, ain't shit. But then I also see it too where it's men that want to be more involved that don't want to have to do the child.
Yeah, when they weaponize the kids.
Let me be involved with the kids. And the woman like, no, I just want the child support. So it's just all the whole system, I just think is jacked up. I don't think that there's no one.
If a man is paying child support, he has the right to see his kids. So all you got to do to go to court, you get that handle. However, the comment you said, Coco, where it was like, the woman was like, you know, well, my check about to hit, let's go on a trip. Guess what? That money might be fucking hers, just hers, because she been paying all her own shit for the month for that kid. You get what I'm saying? So most women, real women, if you getting child support, you paying everything out your pocket. So when that child support hit, because every time somebody on child support, especially a man, don't mean he paying it. And they don't always go to jail when they're not paying it. You know what I'm saying? Wow. So half of the time, you've been spending all your money for the month raising your kid. So when that check do come, guess
that's your money.
It's your money. You can do what you want to do with it for you and your family because you've been supporting the kid the whole fucking time.
And you know what? That's absolutely a fair side of it. Right. I remember, you know, like I was taking care of my son. Of course, he was living with his mother. His I would buy him something, clothes, whatever, and it was I never saw it again. It was like a black hole at their house. I was like, "What the fuck is them shoes I bought you? Where's the jacket? Where's you know?" And my son would always get hurt over his mama house. I'm like, "Nigga, what happened? You all right over there?" And if I got any regrets in my life, Charles Hopgood, is that I didn't take my son when he was younger. I think I could have kept him out of some other things, but I didn't keep because my mother was such a great woman and I would never take a child from their mother, you know, but I should have. And she would have let me take him. Talk to me about the child support or any way you want to settle in on that, Hopgood.
Man, I wish my dad had taken me away. Mm. And my mom wasn't a bad mom. I just, because my dad has three other children after me. I'm the oldest out of my dad's children. And, you know, my dad was a ladies' man. I'm gonna keep it a buck. He was an entrepreneur. He's a handsome cat, stylish, handsome. He did his thing. He could move around the way he wanted to move around. Mm-hmm. But the three other kids, the two boys, because my sister was a holding baby when our dad passed. The two boys got to see my dad and be around my dad more than I did. Mm. And it caused a rift between us, you know, not inadvertently it did. So the second oldest and me now are really tight now. And it took him, you know, being diagnosed with cancer on his 49th birthday when his son was 12, which was the same age as he was when my dad was diagnosed with cancer when my dad was 49. So it's a revelation of that for us to really look at life and sit down and say how we got to be better men. But I think, you know, women don't understand. Women look at a man as a financial crutch to take care of a child. A man, it's a sketchy slope. For women have to understand you birthed the child, we appreciate everything that you are, but when a guy don't have a man in his life, his life can go to a whole different.
I mean, and it goes both ways too for girls. Girls without male influence are affected. But here we go. We down the home stretch of the show. First of all, thank you for coming on today. My name is Rodney Perry. That young lady is Randy Sky. That's the great Coco Fresh, the Fresh Terror, and Hollywood Hopgood. Last question of the day, guys. Let's talk about your last meal. If you could make a choice for your last meal, you get to pick it. Everything from your, you know, your main course. What would your last meal? Hopgood, what's your last meal, man?
My last meal, because I don't eat beef or pork, but it would consist of a roast chicken, some garlic, mashed potatoes.
Okay.
Some broccoli, some cauliflower, some Cabernet, 1983 Cabernet Sauvignon, or good white. But my dessert would be just a simplistic old school Sara Lee cake.
Really? Like a pound cake?
The Sara Lee, the original, when they come in the tin.
Yeah.
The original Sara Lee pound cake.
Does it have to be prepared by anybody specifically?
Sara Lee, you just said it.
No, I'm saying the whole meal.
Yeah, my mom.
Stupid man. Wow. Wow. Well said, Mr. Hopgood. All right, we're going to save you, Randy Sky, because you're always silly. Coco Fresh.
Yes.
Your last meal, what is it? We got the roast chicken coming out for Hopgood. What you going to have?
My mama, cooked by Miss Phyllis Tyson, she'll be making some fried croaker with some fried okra and some corn on the cob and some baked beans.
What's croaker?
It's like a fish, just a regular.
Really? I don't know nothing about croaker.
crunchy. This is from the country.
Just a big old piece of a fillet. So you getting the fillet or the whole fish?
You getting the whole croak. You get the whole fish.
The eye, everything.
They cut really? The head. No, they cut the head off.
Okay.
Yeah, they cut the head off. And I guess, like, you know, I'm not no dessert or anything like that. And yeah, some iced tea. And that's
some sweet tea.
Sweet tea. Yeah.
Wow. That sounds like a great meal. Randy Scott, what's gonna be on your last meal?
Man, can my grandma come back to life to cook it?
She can. She and this her meal. She gonna cook it for you.
Yeah, I need some red rice with shrimp and Roger Wood sausage in it. Y'all know I'm from Charleston, Low Country.
What's Roger Wood? I ain't never had no Roger Wood sausage.
You, Coco, you know what I'm talking about, Annie.
I know what you're talking about.
Roger Wood is a type of sausage. They sell it in the stores here. You okay. Never had Roger Wood, Rodney?
I'm gonna give me some. I ain't never heard of it.
Rodney said he got some Roger.
Put a Roger Wood on the grill, buddy.
Now, have you ever had an Earl Campbell?
Moment of silence.
Let me tell you, red rice. I don't know if y'all ever had red rice. They make it down in the Low Country. This is a Geechee Gullah cuisine. Rice with some French.
What's red rice?
It's a rice they make with seasoning.
Tomato.
Red. Yes.
Okay.
It's very good. And they put shrimp and sausage in it.
So it's like an etouffee.
Fried rice. I mean, not fried rice, fried fish. And then I would want my grandma to make, my grandma used to make the best peach cobbler. However, I didn't like big chunks of peaches in mine. So she would always make me just a little pot with the crust and the sauce from the peaches and stuff just for me.
Oh.
I would love to have that one last time.
Yeah. Well, how about that? For me, my last meal, you know, you travel around this country as a comedian and you ever have a bite that reminds you, like you said, those people. And what was I at? I can't remember where I was. But they brought me a plate, and that shit tastes like something my mother made. Oh. Almost took me all the way out.
Mm-hmm.
You said Sara Lee cake. My mother used to make a box chocolate cake, Duncan Hines.
Mm.
Duncan Hines, and she would let me lick off the spoon. And I would sit there and just watch it with that motherfucking. So Duncan Hines chocolate cake, yellow cake with chocolate icing. Probably something simple, some spaghetti and meat sauce.
Yeah, because we didn't have meatballs.
Some French bread. And this wasn't really my meal, but my mother used to get these. Remember they had them Stouffer's French bread pizzas?
Yeah.
She would, that was like her meal for herself, like her treat for herself. And as the oldest, from time to time, she would let me have a little piece, you know? And so I would love to have a little piece of my mama Stouffer's pizza. Wow. Great show to get today, guys. Thank you for coming on. Randy Scott, how do we stay in touch?
Well, first off, I'm going to make sure I get you a Stouffer's French red pizza and a Roger Wood. So when I see you at the next comedy show and I pull up with a little
kid, I'm about to look up. I'd never heard of Roger Wood's hot links.
Yes, Roger Wood sausage. But yeah, y'all can follow me at
Comedian. What if you met a guy named Roger Woods? Would you marry him?
Yeah, because he sounds like he laid that pipe.
Look at his sausage.
The lady in the streets.
You
my headline, I put pound town. So yeah, y'all follow me at Comedian Randy Scott. And if you are in Atlanta tonight, I will be at Uptown Comedy Corner rocking out with my girl Erica Duchess, Lauren Knight, Spencer Neal Show. So check us out. But yeah, follow me.
No doubt. Coco Fresh, how can we stay in touch?
Follow me on Instagram, Coco Fresh Comedy and Tarot. Follow me on Facebook, Comedian Coco Fresh, or Coco, yes, I'm still the Coco Fresh as well. And then on TikTok, Coco, was it Fresh Tarot? The Fresh Tarot. But yeah. If you want to get a reading on with me, go click on to my link on any of my socials, and we can set up a time. And I'll be working on Keen Psychics all day. So if you want to get a reading on there as well, I'll be there.
I love that. All right. Charles Hopgood, final word, man. How do we stay in touch?
You can reach me on Instagram, HollywoodHop_06. You can reach me on Facebook, Charles L. Hopgood II.
Hey, my name is Rodney Perry. Hopefully y'all like the new direction of the show. I'm really shifting. I wanted to feel more like a podcast. If you guys got anything y'all want to cover, just hit me up and we'll cover that thing as well. Tomorrow, who we got tomorrow? Tomorrow, Moose, Deshaun Ross, and Corey B and Comedian Fig will be here tomorrow. My name is Rodney Perry, and that is our show for today. Thank you guys for coming in. Randy Sky, you got off without accusing me eating no ass, which is good.
See, you wanted me to talk about it, because why would you bring that up?